Well, what's the boundary being surveyed for now?
They're just rechecking all the old old triangulation
markers
and one thing or another.
Checking it for accuracy?
Well, to see if they're all right, if they're in the same place. Or
yeah.
They had a crew coming through here.
I'm just testing it for volume. Keep talking.
I don't think we'd better have the two doors.
No, that's too cold for you.
Have they been working up and down the... It's the International Boundary Commission?
International Boundary, yeah.
They're U.S. They're U.S.
Well, the Canadians and the Americans are doing it joint.
Oh, so some of these are Canadian and some...
No, I think the Canadians is off some other place.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what department that would be. What department...
Well, before, when they was running a check here, they had a whole string of pack horses come down Eagle Creek here, and they had a Canadian engineer with them, and they were working in conjunction with the Coast and Geodetic Survey over on this side.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that's the agency that they come under.
That probably, or USGS.
No, the Geological Survey didn't have anything to do with it.
No, I mean, right now, maybe it would be USGS. I
think
Coast and Geodetic Survey has been kind of swallowed up by a new department.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be under Department of Commerce, and now I think they're under... Look at her taking all that out, all that work. She sits there and pulls it out.
When I don't pay any attention to what I'm doing.
She made a mistake about three or four rows back, and I said, leave it in there and call it your Eagle mistake.
Yeah.
It happened when she was an Eagle, so... And then she could give it to somebody, and then think of about 100 years from now, they'd say, well, that was crocheted by Mrs. Coyle sitting in the Eagle Roadhouse. And that mistake she made when she was talking to so-and-so about such and such. Think of all the well, you sit around the roadhouse over
and
there, some of those people are just full of stories, you know.
Oh, right.
Right where I first began, too.
Yeah, gee whiz, you ought to have seen it here a while back, years ago, when Steele's Roadhouse was flourishing down here in Gully. That was the place for arguments in the NC store.
Yeah.
Oh, gee.
The
old Germans... We had one over here. He was a tinsmith, a coppersmith by trade. Learned his trade over in the old country, old Theo Dover. And he liked to argue. And then they had another one here, Max Drews. Well, he liked to argue. He was right and the world was wrong. No two ways about it. And then they get to arguing with this old Dover, and he knew he was wrong. And then they'd pin him right down. Oh, maybe after an hour or two. And he'd always wind up and he'd say, that's what I say. That's the way he'd win his argument. God's sake.
Well, now the Steel Hotel, I mean the Roadhouse, that's the one that Vince James got, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, he and Peggy used to run that, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, and then they sold out to, it's still their property. Buster Thompson, Gilbert Thompson down Manly Hot Springs,
mm-hmm.
He and his sisters... His two sisters took it over after Steele's, and he was the commissioner, and the two girls is, but it, I don't know.
Well, that's the logs he's using now for this house.
Yeah. That was the customs house about the time you went up through here.
Yeah, the first time.
1907.
Did you know? Have you ever heard that the women were checked down, you know, frisked to see if they were carrying any gold between Dawson and the United States of Alaska. They did that in Dawson.
Did you ever hear that, George?
Mm-mm.
Didn't you know that? Well, I knew back in 1907. They had a woman come on in Dawson.
That would shake them down, huh? In
yes.
Other words. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they would come all the way down to Eagle, see,
mm-hmm.
and then go back up on the next boat, where she did that going up, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, they did that in 7.
Yeah, there's customs office.
And then they went through but they didn't go through the baggage in Dawson, but they did go through the baggage here, when they got here.
A search.
Yeah, search it.
Searched it.
But that when you went through the border, you were supposed to pay customs if you transported gold. Is that right?
Yes.
And then, so she was taking it hidden on her person.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, yes. The women were all. And I suppose they had a man do that too, but I just remember the women because my mother was searched.
Who searched her, a man or a woman?
No, it's a woman. A woman got on. And then she would come on down to Eagle here, you see. She'd probably do it close to the boundary, you know, when they were crossing. And then she'd wait here and go back on the
next steamer.
Next steamer.
I see.
Do the same going up to see if they were taking any from Alaska to the Yukon Territory.
Oh, yeah, they had to be on their guard 24 hours a day, the custom. Mm-hmm. Still do.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess they do. They still pick up quite a few, I know, coming into Alaska for bringing marijuana. And
yeah, over here, boundary. Gee, what is that? I was talking to that customs officer there, and he says, he says, it sure gets disgusting at times to think there's that many worthless people in the United States. All of them are trying to pull something.
Yes, but you see, they don't frisk you like they did.
No.
A woman can carry that stuff on her body, and they wouldn't know whether they were bringing it in or not.
Well, those people are pretty well trained, I think. They can tell when you're coming on. But you know, when I came through boundary, well, when was it? Almost 2 weeks ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 10 days or so ago when we came back from Dawson, and the guy just wanted to see our identification, but then he wanted to look in the trunk of the car too to see what we had, and I had carefully taken. I had a gift. A cup and saucer, and then we had a parcel of 4 china mugs, and I put all that stuff in one place that we'd purchased or was given to us, so they could look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And all the rest of it I'd taken over there with me. When I went through, I had my tape recorder, which is a valuable, pretty costly. It's over $2,000 with all this gear.
Gee whiz, that much?
And I had 2 cameras, both of which were worth about $600 apiece. And then I didn't get anything on the Canadian customs, but coming back, I thought, here's going to see all my tape recorder, my 2 cameras, and maybe he'll just think I've been trying to haul him across the border. But I got to talking with him and told him that we'd been over, you know, talking to some of the old-timers. And so I guess he believed me, and he didn't go through anything.
Yeah, I brought back a case of cream milk. You can't buy that anymore over here on this site.
Can't you?
And you can get it in Dawson. Kind of expensive, but I always liked that old Clinton milk.
Yeah, that's good.
And I had a case of that and a shirt, and a good wool shirt. And I didn't bring the sales slips. So it dawned on me. Then I asked him, I said, am I supposed to bring the sales slips? He said, it would be better if you did. And he says, that's all right. He says, you didn't go over your $100 exemption. You're allowed $100 exemption.
If you stay 48 hours, isn't it?
Yeah, and then you're entitled to every week. I didn't know that. Once a week.
We wouldn't have had to pay. But I got, when he wanted to see in the trunk, you know, I had all this gear in the trunk, my camera, camera case, and this tape recorder, a bunch of tapes. But he was a pretty nice fellow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but this
old... I imagine, you know, they have a lot of experience, and some of these long-haired hippie types going through.
They can spot them far as they can see them. Yeah, especially when they're lined up, they can tell when somebody's trying to pull something.
Yeah.
This old Jack Hillard used to be here for years. How did you know him?
Yes.
And he was telling about how they were trained to it. And boy, nobody better try and pull anything on that old boy. He'd throw the book at you, but yet he would help you figure, try to hold her down on you.
Yeah.
But if he found out you was trying to pull something, he had a temper to go with it.
I came up from Ruby one year, and on my way outside. So I came this way, you know, upstream. And then at Vancouver, I caught the train to go to Mount Vernon. And when I crossed the boundary there, they went through it again. And Skagway, there was 3 times that they went through my baggage.
Yeah.
On that trip.
They didn't find a thing, I bet.
No, we didn't find anything. I said on the train, I said to the man, I said, again? I said, now this is 3 times. Well, he says, you're crossing the border here.
Yeah. Gee, just think, the old Jack Hiller told me that when the old Steel Roadhouse there was the customs office, they had as many as 12 customs officers there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Holy smoke.
Yeah, business was that.
Yeah, flourishing.
Well, I guess, good? Yeah. Well, Jack, what years was...
I don't remember. He was a purser on a steamboat down the Lower River, and he got this here customs job. He was telling me about it. And he and a guy by the name of... He was Volney Richmond's... He and Volney Richmond, old Volney Richmond, married sisters.
I see.
Yeah. And he eventually turned out to be vice president of a Caterpillar Tractor Company.
Is that right?
Yeah, and when they got to town, he wanted Jack to go with him. That's where they split.
Yeah.
Both for a career, you see. Jack came up here to Moose Creek over here on the 40 Mile River.
That was during the early days, in the Stampede years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he spent a lot of time there at Moose Creek. Then they moved him back down here. Then it was seasonal, so he'd go down to Stewart and what's the other town across from there?
Mayo?
Hyder.
Okay.
Yeah. And he'd relieve that man while he went on vacation. And when he come back, then Jack would go down to San Francisco, a big port like that, showing how sharp he was. And he was telling about a ship's manifest that went through, I forget how many hands, and it had a $60,000 mistake in it. Mm-hmm. And he nailed it. And this old guy that was in charge down here, Julius, says, boy, oh boy, his stocks, old Jack,
was
the number one man there ever after that happened. But he had three big handbooks, fine print, and he had every bit of that in his head.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, he was a...
Then he ended up vice president of Caterpillar?
No, this other fellow that was...
The other man.
Oh,
I think his name was Forrest.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I can't think of that name.
Yeah, they were both down the Lower River. And he and Volney Richmond married sisters. That's why the NC has got the Caterpillar Agency right today and got the monopoly on it, you know. Jimmy Berwick, you know, he had it in Fairbanks.
Yeah.
Had the agency there, and he was telling about how they put the squeeze on him. Mm-hmm. He had a certain perimeter around his area, and they kept squeezing that in all the time.
Finally got it away from him.
Yeah, and he had to stock up, he had a lot of money tied up in parts.
Yeah.
When the old Gas 16 and Gas 30s, you know. And the FE company had to come to him to get their parts. And they offered him 50 cents on the dollar, he told me, for the parts he had on hand, and he wouldn't sell them. Eventually, the FE company bought them for him. Yeah.
Well, when did you first come to Eagle?
In 1934, I was cutting wood out on Esther Dome, and this Bill Kelly and I worked together when Mike Ersig brought the drill up to Coal Creek, and I came up with a new cat that time. It was the first diesel cat out of Fairbanks.
How'd you come? Overland? I mean, did you bring it up by river?
Yeah, up on the steamer Yukon.
I see.
Yeah. And the trip before, they brought Mike Ersig's drill and crew in. And that's when Coal Creek actually started. It was
in, in Coal Creek. Yeah,
yeah.
I see.
And then the next...
Was it a prospecting drill?
Well, yeah, it was a Keystone, 6-inch Keystone drill, an old steam rig.
And it was for prospecting, for possible dredging, maybe, or mining.
Patty was there, Charlie Murray, he just died a while ago, he was in charge. And their engineer was Denny Moore. Eugene Moore. He graduated out of the University of Alaska, too, but he stuttered so darn bad. He was worse than Bill. Gee, he stuttered terrible, poor guy. But he was sharp.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the engineer and took care of all the samples and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And kept up with his map. And then Chuck Herbert came along. And that's when they took over Wood Chopper, so they had to have two men with the two in here, one for each drill.
Yeah.
And the next year, I came to Eagle the winter of, I think it was 34. Had to be, yeah. I came up in 34, up to Circle. And Old Patty needed some lumber, and he bought this big gymnasium building that was here at the post. So we come up and tore out what he needed, and left it in quite a mess. And went back down. Then I went back to Fairbanks, and I came back to Cold Creek.
You say you went to Circle in 34. Was that your first time in Alaska?
Oh no, no. I've been. How I got acquainted with Patty, I was out in the Kantishna out to Quigley's when they was driving that tunnel there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I stayed there about a year with old Fanny and Joe.
Mm-hmm.
But I came from the coast. I was working in hard rock mines down along the coast.
You mean Juneau and that area?
No, Nuka Bay, in between Seward and Seldovia.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a hard rock camp in there. Willow Creek was flourishing in up out of Anchorage.
Well, tell me how you first got to Alaska. You came up by steamer up through
the old steamer Yukon.
Yeah.
That was another Yukon.
Another Yukon, not the steam wheeler.
No. That's the one that sunk off from Latouche Island.
Yeah, Alaska steamship.
Yeah, broken. Yeah, Alaska steamship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When was that?
Oh, 1928, I think.
1928.
Yeah. I never. That's one thing I never kept track. I do know it was the month of April, I think. Easter was in April, and they held the old Captain Glasscock. He held Easter services
mm-hmm.
on the ship, and he's out. Oh, he was out in the middle of the Gulf, I guess. But I didn't see much of Alaska after we hit Ketchikan. The old mate gave me a job working down the hole, juggling freight. So I didn't get to, I never got off like a lot of the guys didn't walk around
so
town.
So you worked your way up?
No, they paid me. And I had my ticket and I had a little money.
I see.
I just went for the adventure of it.
Yeah.
And I was never out of a day's work. I worked. Oh, hacking ties, and then I was in town and Sim Spokane came up there building the bridge. It was some contractors from Spokane, and I worked for them, and then when the job got through...
Where was that?
Down in Seward.
Seward.
That was a bridge across the Resurrection River, 3 miles out. Well, back home, I worked with a blacksmith back there quite a bit, and these two partners came in looking for a blacksmith. So I went down to the hotel and seen them and told them what I could do. And they had a horse, and they wondered if I could shoot a horse. I told them I could shoot a horse. So I went down there, and the boat only went once a month.
Where was this now? What town was this in?
Well, I was in Seward, but the mine was,
oh, this is where
down Nuka Bay.
Nuka Bay, yeah.
Yeah, Nuka Bay, that's just halfway between Seward and Seldovia by boat time,
yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down there and I got along just fine. They had five miners working in there and another crew driving a tunnel. And
mm-hmm.
It was rich rock, up in the thousands of dollars a ton, but they made a poor recovery on the arsenic that was in it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't plate good. And I stayed down there 3 years. 3 years, yeah. And then I came to Fairbanks. And I went out and seen Dr. Patty. He was in charge for General McRae then. He was McRae's engineer. And a couple of days later, I was flying with Frank Pollock out to Quigley's.
Quigley's in the Kantishna.
Yeah, out in the Kantishna, yeah. And then Mr. McRae, or General McRae's engineer, gave up the ground. You know, he didn't want to have nothing to do with it. So I came into Fairbanks, and Patty sent me up with this new cat up to Cold Creek, and it was the last trip in the fall for the steamer Yukon. So I stayed there until just before Christmas. They kept drilling, right, and all that cold weather. It was a steam drill, and everything went fine. Johnny Lake was the panner. Mm-hmm. Did you know him out of Central? He burned up in the cabin out there.
I didn't know him. Did you?
Yeah, I knew
Johnny Lake.
I've met him.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew him.
You know, he was a university graduate engineer, mining engineer, and funny how he wound up like he did there at Central. He had that old big bushy beard. He had oatmeal mush in that beard, I'll bet you, from 2 years before.
Is that right?
Oh, golly, he was filthy.
Is that right?
And he was a really intelligent man.
Yeah.
When it comes to computing ground, plaster ground and all that,
yeah,
figuring your yardage on, he was an expert. But he had that prospecting in his head, and he...
Well, a lot of them get that bug, and they hard to get rid of it.
He just couldn't get rid of it.
So then, it must have been then 34 you came into Eagle, too.
Yeah, that winter. That's the first time I seen Eagle, was 1934. And they had a dance over, and that's where I met my wife. My ex-wife, I should say. And so I worked at Cold Creek there for, quite a while. Helped freight the dredges up there and helped build them. And they got started, and then...
Well, was that all Patty's operation then?
General McRae.
Mm-hmm.
Patty was the engineer in charge.
Yeah, but then later Patty took over.
Yeah, well, that was Woodchopper. You see, that was Alluvial Golds. And they floated alone there. Mm-hmm. RFC, I think it was, they called it. And they drilled Woodchopper, so they decided to take that one. I see on the letterhead there, Patty was the vice president of that.
Mm-hmm.
And General McRae was the president. And I forget what year that was, the Woodchopper dredge started up. But then I left just about that time and came up here.
But you, were you married here in Eagle?
Mm-hmm.
And then lived here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both my boys was born right here in this house.
You're related to the Becks who live in Nenana?
No, I ain't got no relatives, just one sister.
Is that right?
Yeah. She's down in California.
How about your boys?
Well, that one up there in the Air Force, in that picture there, I lost him. He got killed in a car accident down... He was based at Rapid City, South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
He got killed in a car accident up in the Black Hills
at
Spearfish. Just got back from Africa not too long. So I went down and seen him. I was running dragline out there on Fish Creek then for Manny Olson and Andy Anderson. Gee whiz, that just took the zip out of everything.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah. And the other one, he married up here in the village, works for the state out here on the road.
He lives here in Eagle.
No, he lives up there in the Indian village.
Oh, in the Indian village.
Like the rest of the Indians do.
Yeah.
He just went sour. There's his little family. He walked off and left, but back in Minneapolis. Or Hopkins. That's where Jack Sexton's from, Hopkins.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, did you meet his mother?
I've met her, but I have never talked with her very much.
Yeah,
she comes up every once in a while, I think.
Yeah, she come up 2 years in a row now.
Yeah.
She had heart surgery, and boy, it didn't take old Jack long to get back there. There is one of the nicest fellows I've ever met.
Yeah, he really is.
All them boys are nice.
Yeah, that's a nice family.
Yeah.
He's a real thoughtful guy, and you wouldn't think a fellow running a bar like that would be that way, but he's real kind to people. And
he's sure too kind for his own good.
Yeah, he is. I bet he has lots of bad checks that he's had to throw away.
Guys
will go in there and cash checks, and he knows darn good well they don't have any money in the bank.
And they go in there and borrow money off of them. You know, old Jack is just one of the nicest, nice they come.
Well, have you lived in Eagle most of the time then, since...
No, then we split up in 1958. So then I went up north.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed there. I worked for Weems.
Mm-hmm.
And I was traveling around for them, taking care of their ground equipment.
Yeah.
Trucks and tractors and light plants and all that. Well, I was there at Barrow when the dew line struck.
I see.
Yeah, when...
55.
Yeah, all them key men came in, and Jim was there, and I didn't know him from Adam then, so I got to talking to the judge. You knew him, Hugh Saltzman.
Hugh Saltzman, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, well, so he talked to Marion Edmonds, or Nicholson.
Nicholson.
And I was sure of the job, so I quit Weems.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a chance to turn in a resignation or anything. I just quit. Went to work the next day for PS&E, Puget Sound Freight. So when they phased out, Federal Electric took over, when I stayed up there.
Oh,
there
wasn't
no point in me coming home. Nothing to come home to. And that was good money, you see.
Yeah, you bet.
And but the sticker was, was the union on your pension plan. I had all these hours, from when I worked for you know, PS&E.
Yeah.
And they had it fixed so that they just roll backwards when they quit coming in and eat up what you have got. See, so,
Holy smoke.
I lost all them hours. And they put in your finest for, there was Elwood Tong and John Borgman and I. Three old PS&D men.
I don't understand how that worked. You mean because you put in a lot of extra time? Or
no, because I was working for a non-union outfit. Federal Electric wasn't organized.
Oh, I see. They weren't organized then.
Yeah, they weren't organized. And them hours that I had accumulated just went backwards.
They kept reducing. Every time you earned an hour, they took it off on your pension.
I suppose. I don't know. I didn't even bother to look. You made me so darn mad. They made a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'd have worked steady for a union outfit, organized outfit, I'd be getting a nice big check now, you see,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, and then I went over to, well, I spent quite a while there at Barrow. And I don't know how many years. Then I went over to Barter Island.
Mm-hmm. This is still for Federal Electric.
Yeah, after PS&D phased out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, then Federal Electric took over, and they just took us over on their side,
right.
And we thought it was solid. Yeah. But then I was talking to Whitey Langberg. He was the second business agent down at him, but he's a big shot now in Seattle. Well, he says, we held a kind of a little meeting. He says, and we forgive you fellas. Otherwise, we could have fined you. Gee whiz. Wasn't that a nice hip to do?
Well, did you get some kind of? Do you get some kind of a pension from that?
Oh yeah, from the operating engineers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. But.
But it's not what you could have had.
No.
Been for
no, if I'd have kept. But up here, you know, them hours, build up with the seasonal work.
Yeah.
And then when your employer quits turning in them hours, well, then it just starts going backwards again. See, that's haywire. But now it works just like Social Security. You just notify them, and your pension check stops, and you start working and build it up some more if you want.
Yeah, well, that's good.
But I didn't have to. I don't have to do that.
Well, you've had you've owned property here in Eagle in all these years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then this old Tom King that fixed up the place, owned the place. He died. Well, this woman that took care of Mrs. Monk, her and her husband. I don't know where they were living then, but he gave her the house, gave her all these property for taking care of him. He died right here in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And so they lived here. Then he got to working for the road commission out here in the canyon as you come mm-hmm. through, coming in here. And they were barring down rocks, and this Al Stout over here, he's out over there now.
Is he in town now?
Yeah, he's over there welding.
Oh, I better go see him.
Yeah. And
isn't in town too, is she?
Who?
Stout.
Yeah, him and his wife. Oh, Burns over there.
Right there.
Oh, I'll be
I see her this morning, yeah.
We better go say hello.
Sure.
Jim told me to be sure to say hello to them if they were here, but he thought they were out. Mm-hmm. Aren't they out of town ways? Do they mind?
No.
Or they just live here?
Oh, no, he lives over at Polk. His home is at Polk.
Yeah.
But he was mining up American Creek here.
Yeah.
But anyway, this Charlie Monk got killed
uh-huh.
by a big boulder and right alongside Al Stout, rolled down on it. Well, then she wrote me a letter, and I explained it, and she knew we were getting married, so I bought the place. Been here ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's the only home I got ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wanted to go the route of the bottle, so now I wouldn't go for it, so it just sat here. All them years I was up north, and that's mm-hmm. what I say, that's where that musty smell comes from.
Yeah. So you've had this place for quite a few years.
Oh yeah. I got tax receipts going clear back to 1937.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, do Stouts have property here, or do they just mm-hmm. live in someone's?
That's his old original property. That's when he first come to Eagle.
Yeah.
Him and Berta got married, and then he bought that.
Yeah.
Used to be a pair of sisters there, mom's sisters, they call them. They were Finns. They're buried up here in the cemetery. Was you ever up that cemetery?
No.
Oh, gee, that's a pretty place.
Gee, we came Tuesday and we're going back tomorrow, and I could spend another week here.
Yeah, you're going back tomorrow.
Yeah, I could spend another whole week here, but I thought I'd had plenty of time in Eagle, but we've been talking to people and it's really been interesting.
My gosh, it's a shame you wasn't here 10 years ago.
I know.
Yeah, all of them.
When some of the real old timers were still alive.
Old timers is here, golly. there's a lot of them were comical. There was them old bullheaded Germans get arguing. You know?
What about these Germans you were mentioning? How'd they get?
Oh, they weren't all. There were some of them had to report back up to the police. They were pro-German during
World War II.
World War One.
Can I open this just a little bit?
Let me close
this one here, then it won't be so drafty.
Yeah, close that one and leave this one open.
See, I got two fires going.
Oh.
Yeah.
No wonder.
Yeah. Well, that'll be enough there. Well, be darned. We got